walk out of this tomb. Buried underneath the lies that you believed. Safe and sound, stuck in the ground, too lost to be found. Your choice to see, and it's time to leave. Come on and rise up, take a breath. You're
I'm waiting. darkness tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I hold. When brokenness and pain is all I know. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. We no longer have a place to hide.
Bring your name above every. world has to offer. The here and gone that leaves you wanting more, but can't satisfy. Father, forgive me for taking so long to see that you're all I need. With every
yes. I heard that one. All right. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Psalms, chapter 14 and chapter 53. There's a reason for this. I'm just not padding the books tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We magnify your holy name. We thank you for all that you've given us, for all that you, by your Holy Spirit, reveal to us of your word, and that we may understand and give you all the glory and honor. And we just ask that your Holy Spirit just be our teacher this evening, opening up to us your word, that it may live mightily in us and draw us closer to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, chapter 14 of the Psalms. chapter 14 and chapter, 53, they're almost identical. Chapter 14 has a verse or two more than chapter 53. So and they're both written by David, and they're both inclined to allow you to see what God is looking at, and how when we begin to understand things from the aspect of God, is God, you know, what's God's voice about this, or what's his opinion about this? We begin to see how he talks to the world, and that we can see that in what he's talking about. Now, I'm going to read verse chapter 14 of Psalms. It's on page 694 if you have a Bible like Butch's. It says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good." Okay? And he says, "The Lord looks down from heaven unto the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God." Now, he goes on and says, "They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and do not call on the Lord? There they are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion, when the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad." Now, when you look at that, you kind of think, he's just talking in generalities. He's just saying, you know, this has happened and that's happened and this is the way it is. But he's really talking about starting out with the fool. What is a fool? Huh?
Someone has little understanding.
Little understanding?
Someone who doesn't care.
They could be very intelligent. Yeah, yeah. See, we kind of think of it as a simple-minded person. Yeah, knows right but does wrong. That's a fool.
Yeah,
you got that right. But you see, what I'm getting at is when we look at this, we're looking at the aspect that God is, through David, speaking to the people and saying, Now, what's a fool? What is a fool? Is it a person? The fool has said in his heart. He may not go around telling anybody. He might be the leader of the church. But a fool is one that does not comprehend who God is and the greatness of God. He wants to do things his own way. Well, I won't go into that, but I know that there are people in church that may have a pastor, but the pastor doesn't do anything unless they give him the okay. That's a fool. You see, why give a person a position? What is a pastor? What is a leader of a church? To me, a pastor is the one that God has placed to guide and direct the people. I mean, he doesn't tell you when to get up, when to go to bed, when to, you know, all that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that in the Word of God, God has given the responsibility to deliver the unaltered, the unchanged truth from the Word of God, and that person is responsible for that. Now, we are responsible to be the children of God in relation to that authority that God has placed in that position. All right? Now, I want to read this to you out of the Amplified Bible. I've had this Bible for a long time. And I even got a marker in it. I know that's the wrong one. This is the wrong one. Psalm 14 out of the Amplified Bible says, "The empty-headed fool has said in his heart, there is no God." I kind of like that. The empty-headed fool. What is a fool? In the Hebrew, a fool is called a Nabal. Uh-huh. You're getting it. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25 shows a man that is wealthy. He's got thousands of sheep. He's got thousands of goats. He's got a multitude of people guarding those and shepherding him and moving them around and keeping them full and fat and happy and shearing them and taking the sheep shear and off of them. But what he's doing, David had protected his farmers and so on and so forth while he was in the wilderness. And then David comes up and says, "Could you spare a few sheep for dinner for my people?" And he says, those are my sheep. You ain't getting nothing. So David gets mad and says, I'm going down there and I tell you what, let's take a whole spitload of people and we'll go down there and we'll just kill him and every one of his servants and everything else and he won't have nothing. Well, his wife Abigail finds out about it through some of the people that worked for Nabal. And he comes out and she comes out with sheep and stuff and says, wait, just a minute. He is a fool. We're not paying any attention to him. Here's some sheep and stuff. And just spare his life. Just spare his life and we'll be gracious to you. David said, okay. Then the Lord steps up and Nabal has his final party, drunk with wine and everything. Next day he has a stroke. 10 days later he's dead. You see, when we get in arrogance, like in Psalm 15:2, it says, "He who walks and lives uprightly and blameless, who walks works rightness and justice, and speaks and thinks the truth in his heart, he is the guy that walks with God." So what he's trying to show us here is that this man, the fool, a fool is a moral or spiritual unsensitive person. In other words, we would be a fool in here if we didn't consider each other. You know, somebody has a problem, somebody has a disaster, somebody Somebody's house burns down. Well, one of the things that Debbie and I didn't need when our house burned down was the fact that we needed money to pay for clothes, and you know, because we had nothing. We walked out of our house with what we had on our backs that night. We couldn't take anything. We couldn't handle anything. Matter of fact, if we went in the house, we would have probably fell through to the basement. But see, what I'm getting at is I'm not getting at me. I'm getting at the fact that when we are walking with God, we have to consider those around us. Not be the fool that is selfish, greedy, unsettled in all his ways. A foolishness or living as if God did not exist is a deception of the perseverance of evil. It's evil wants us to say, you know, there is no God. I watched a guy on TV for years. He was a nuclear physicist and talking about the creation of the world and everything. And he said, there is no God. Well, he died. And I would say without a shadow of a doubt that he met the guy he said didn't exist. No, there's another one, a younger guy that was, Hawkins was the guy that was crippled. Yeah. And Hawkins, he didn't totally discount God. He may not have believed in him, but he didn't discount him. This guy discounted him. I can't think of his name. But Hawkins also, he understood some of the things of God. And there is a situation where there's a black hole in the universe, and a black hole is said to be an area where nothing can escape for it. It's all sucked in, and even light can't come out of it. But Stephen Hawking said there is energy or light coming out of a black hole. And they finally proved it. And one of the last conversations I had with my brother-in-law was that, you know, I discovered that that black hole is like a Christian who the devil has put under severe stress, and I'm going to just destroy you right here. And that person thinks, you know, I've heard in the past a lot of people said, well, you know, my prayers never went any higher than the ceiling. But you see, God says all we have to do is whisper a prayer and he hears it. Well, see, Hawkins said even though they thought nothing could escape a black hole, there was something coming out of that black hole. And they proved it. So what I am saying is when the devil has you cornered in darkness and it feels like nobody cares, nobody's around, nobody's seeing you, nobody hears you, you can't even get in contact with God, your prayers are going through.
Amen.
You see, that's the key that we have to understand. The seen things of this world give us evidence of the unseen. When the devil comes up and says, you know, hey, there's no God. There's none of that around here. You don't have to worry about anything. You know, you just live your life and exist the way you want to, and everything will be okay. And when you come down to the end of this life, you will find out that, you know, that was all it was. Well, see, that's the devil speaking. God says that man lives after this life. So it says the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. I mean, do y'all understand that there's God? Do you understand that God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble?
Amen.
Do you understand that there is none that calleth unto God but what God doesn't hear? You see, David has gotten into this point where he's saying, look, I know that this is what the world sees. This is what the fool understands. But I want you to understand, I don't want you to be a fool. I want you to understand freely that God is here. It is God who brings us out. You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. You see, I've had people make fun of me. Oh, you're one of them Christians. Well, yeah. I mean, God called me before I was ever born. Now wait a minute. Think about that. God, in the prophets, it tells us that God knew him in his mother's womb. So that tells me if he knows that guy in his mother's womb, he knew me in my mother's womb. The devil tried to destroy me while I was in my mother's womb. I was taken to save my mother, and in that episode, they told mom to go home and make funeral arrangements for me because I'd never go home. Mom said, uh-uh, my son will live, and I will take him home. Not to his heavenly home, but I'm going to take him to my house. And my mom, standing in faith, well, that was 70 years ago, and I'm still here. You know, I fell off of buildings, hit the concrete. I've been in car wrecks. I've been in mining, almost mining disasters, underground, on ground, above the ground. God has protected me through all those things. I'm not here because, hey, look at me, I'm big and I'm strong. I'm neither of those. But I am a child of God that has walked with God and that God has talked with me. Let's turn over to Psalm 53. It's amazing how you can mark these out in your Bible and then you can't find them. Page 728, if you got a Bible like Butch. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Wait a minute, isn't that what I said over in Psalm 14? You see, David, a lot of times when you make a point, they tell you in making presentations and getting people to understand a situation that you find that if you repeat and repeat the same thing, that people will comprehend it easier and will remember it longer. Okay? So what David is doing is David is rehearsing Psalm 14. And here in 53, he said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity, there is none who does good. There's no fool that does good. So if you're not doing good, you're a fool. Whoa, wait a minute. You're not supposed to call people names. I'm not calling people names. I'm stating the facts according to the Bible. It says, God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. See, if you're an understander of God, you're going to seek Him. You're going to follow Him. You're going to adhere to His word, whether anybody else around you does or not. And you're going to adhere to that word in accordance with God, what God tells you, not what He told me. See, He told me to preach, and I argued for months with God over that, and I did not want to do it. The preachers that I had seen preaching and so on and so forth, they just glorified themselves. They didn't glorify God. Well, I didn't want to be amongst that class of people. But God said, this is what I want you to do because I want you to deliver the word the way I wrote it and the way that it is brought forth to the people. You see, I'm not to change this, and I'm not to say, let's mark this out of our Bible and write this in because this is a more accurate description of the Bible or the word, the definition of that word. No. I will give you the word, then I'll give you the Hebrew word, I'll give you the definitions of the Hebrew word. Now you make your conclusion. You see, allow God to be the Holy Spirit to be your instructor, and to bring forth the power of the word to present it to you, and you can present it to other people. You see, I don't have the cornered the market on the word of God. There's not an individual in here that couldn't teach a lesson out of the word of God and me learn something else from it. You see, if I'm so arrogant that I think I'm the only one that has the market, then I become the fool that God is talking about here. He says, verse 3, every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. You see, that's a fool. That's a fool. Did I make that clear? That's a fool. All right. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? There's a lot of people. That Jackie, I've heard about that church that she goes to. You know, I've heard about that church that she goes to. You know. I went to a church one time and people come up to me and they said, is it true? Is what true? Y'all got a basement in that church? Well, there was no basement in that church. Because I've worked all over that church and there's no basement. That y'all keep probably 500-600 snakes down there? You know, y'all are snake worshippers, right? No! No. Genesis says that God put an enmity between the snake and man. Anybody know what the definition of an enmity is? It's a deep-seated hatred or dislike. And buddy, I am biblical on that. I have a deep-seated hatred or dislike of snakes. Green snakes, black snakes, padded snakes, spotted snakes, big snakes, little snakes. It don't make no difference. The word, key word there is snake. All right. There there they are in great fear, where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him who encamps against you. What would that mean? What does that mean? God has scattered the bones of him that is against you? That sounds to me like he's brought him to nothing, and I'm not going to even let him exist to enough to be anything. I'm scattering the bones. In other words, when there's a dead person and you dig up the bones, you can identify that person by the bones. But if you scatter the bones and the bones can't be found, you can't even reconstruct that individual. So God is saying that in these times when the enemy has come against you, he's going to defeat the enemy. He's going to scatter him to the winds, and that enemy will have nothing on you. He's not going to destroy you. He's not going to be at your heels. He's not going to be against you. He is going to be totally eradicated. Why? Because God is in control. And he says, "Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When God brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad." In other words, he's telling the people, even though you've come up against this destruction, you've come up against where the enemy, the sinners, the creators of sin, the Satan or the demons or whatever you want to call it, or the people next to you, when they come against you, it said that when the flood comes, that God would raise up a standard against it. We had some floods a few weeks ago, did we not? And wasn't there a standard raised up against that flood? It couldn't come no higher than where it got to. They put in a few floodgates and stuff like that, but from my understanding, they weren't really necessary. God had already raised up a standard. When the enemy comes in like a flood, remember in your heart and in your mind, you know, my God is in control. My God is the one that is not going to let me go under and be defeated and destroyed. It is my God who has risen up a standard against the enemy, and it shall not overcome me. It is my God who delivers me and sets me free. God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. You don't know how many times I've said that after the car wreck and the strokes and the fire and the falling off a ladder and landing on the concrete on my head and all that. I just have to look back and say, look, there's a reason for me being here, and the reason is that God has given me the position to say, look, this is God's word. This is what God so desires. And God wants you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. You can read it in the New King James. You can read it in the Amplified. You can read it in whatever translations you want to. Some of them are not so good, but most of them are. It's using a word, like I said, an enmity is a deep-seated hatred or dislike. And when that enmity between the snake and man, you know, I tell you what, I am the most biblical person on that text ever was. I have a deep-seated hatred, dislike. I'm going to tell you one more story and I'm going to close up. We used to have a farm And we had a pasture, or a pasture and a garden, and in between the pasture and the garden was some brush. And there were a lot of blackberry vines grew up in that brush. And there was an old log laying next to the garden, and Mom got up on that log and was picking blackberries. And she picked blackberries until she got to where she couldn't reach out there. So she took her foot and moved over the grass, the stick weeds and all this other stuff, and pushed them down. And then she stepped on those and could reach further back out in there. The next thing I knew, I turned and was looking at Mom. Mom jumped about 10 or 15 feet backwards. And I couldn't figure out how in the world that woman could jump that far. What she had done when she shoved those stick weeds over, she had moved them over on a snake. And she was standing on top of that snake, and when she was picking blackberries, she happened to feel it trying to get around to bite her, and she jumped backwards, got away from it. Now, that's not the end of the story. My mama, once she knew where that snake was, she would take a willow stick. I mean, just something just barely limpy, limpy, limpy. And she would wear that snake out, buddy. She had that snake. It didn't go anywhere because Mama had it. You see, God is just like my mama. If anything's going to happen, once she gets it figured out, she's going to put an end to it. You're not going to hurt my kids. You're not going to hurt me. You know, so when I read these stories of God delivering people in the Word of God, I think a lot of how my mom had no fear when it come to her kids. She would go in and she would take whatever. And I mean, am I telling the truth? But you could get a worm that long, and you could run Mama all over the hills with that little worm. But anyway, let's conclude here. God wants us to know that even though we have a choice between God and being foolish and not receiving the Word of God, not following God, not making God Lord of our lives, we have that choice. Do we follow God, or do we allow the enemy to play us for a fool? One that has no moral or spiritual sensitivity. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you're showing us in a true and honest way how that we can follow after you. We can turn our hearts around. We can receive your word with gladness. And Father, that we give you all the praise, all the honor, and the glory. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.